But that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Through the scripture, just, you know, present a couple of points to us along the lines of what we are speaking about. The believer, the man who has believed in Christ, is one who ought to live a life of love. The pattern of your livelihood, the pattern in which you live, is one that should be commanded by love. Hallelujah. It should be punctuated by love at every instance, at every decision. What drives you is love. Hallelujah. So what is love? Amen. According to the scripture, verse 8, as we saw, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Simple or simply defined, God is the epitome of love. Amen. God is love. In verse 16, it also says that statement, as short as it is, God is love. If we need, or for us, the right or the true definition or the true expression of love is found in God. Amen. And so God, in teaching us what love really is, demonstrate it to us, as we see in verse 9 and verse 10, where it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He has sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen. God is love. And in demonstrating his love towards us, he had to offer his Son to die on our behalf so that we might live through him. Amen. So if we would attempt to understand or put a definition to love as God has expressed and demonstrated to us, then we would say that love is a sacrifice that helps to bring out the best in another. Amen. That is, you are giving up of your own strength for another to be improved. Amen. What God did was that he offered Jesus to die so that we might find strength as we live through him. Amen. Because it is evident, by ourselves we can do nothing. By ourselves, we cannot achieve much. And in demonstrating his love, he had Jesus die. So that when you believe into him, you are able to live through him on his strength. Amen. That is love. If we say we walk in love, then our lives must be characterized by living in that manner. Amen. What we see here is one in which love is not... Love is based on a giving to pick another up. Hallelujah. It comes with a strength from the one who is stronger to one who is weaker. Hallelujah. Therein is love. He says, not that we loved him, but he loved us. He loved us. He initiated the move to love. Love is not one that waits to be reciprocated upon. Because he has done well, I do well. But it makes a move. Hallelujah. The expectation in what God did for us is that we are able to live through him. We are able to derive strength from the one who gave himself for us. God is love, and he has manifested his love towards us by offering Jesus to be the atonement for our sins. Hallelujah. He dealt with our weaknesses. Love comes in his strength to pick up from weakness and establish on a better path. Amen. For the believer, we are expected to walk in love. As we see in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I think verse 1 and 2, that says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. Because he has loved you, you ought to imitate him. Such that your life should be patterned in a way whereby you walk in love. Your life is one that expresses love wherever you find yourself. Amen. You don't use your strength to put down. You use your strength to bring up. You don't use your strength to destroy. You use your strength to create. You use your strength to further the person, to give advancement to whoever comes in contact with you. Hallelujah. Amen. And the strength we speak about is not the strength by your own self. Hallelujah. Because there be some who will say, because I don't have money, so I cannot walk in love. Amen. Love is not predicated on how much you have. Paul said, as poor, yet making many rich. As weak, yet making many strong. Why? He says the excellency of God, of this man, is not in us. It's not about us. The excellency is based on the Spirit of God that we have received. Amen. God is love, and he has demonstrated his love towards us. Amen. Look at the next point I want to make. Verse 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We are indebted to love one another. Amen. In the Bible study today, they talked about that. How, is it that we don't have a will? No, you are indebted. Because you have been loved much, you also ought to love. Amen. For the believer, love is not about feelings. I feel I love Pastor Inka, so I walk in love towards him. No, for the believer, love goes or transcends the feeling. For the believer, love is a command. So whether you like his face or not, whether you are irritated by him or not, whether you just even can't touch him with a stick from a distance or not, you are indebted to love another. one another. Hallelujah. For the believer, love is not driven by affection. It may be part of it. You feel an affection towards someone, may be part of it. But the believer, love is not driven by affection. It's a command that has already been showcased, that has already been packaged and presented to us. It's a command that we have already benefited from. And because you have benefited from it, you are expected to also show it. Amen. For the believer, love is driven by obligation. It's an obligation. You must walk in love. It's not a case of option. It's not an optional thing. It is one in which, because you have experienced love, you also must walk in love. Let's read that scripture Pastor Inka read this morning again. For the sake of those of us who were not around and those who will probably be listening to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Says, for Christ's love compels us. For the love of Christ constrains us. King James Version. Says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Because Jesus died for us, then we are compelled that we have experienced in his death. And he died for all those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You are compelled to love. Because he has lavished his love upon you, you are compelled to walk in love towards another. Amen. It's not a choice. Yes, you have your will to make, but in the right standing, because you have been loved much, you also ought to love. Jesus said about the woman who came at the period when he was about to die. She came with the best of her oil that she had saved probably for many years. She came with it and she emptied it on the feet of Jesus, such that the whole room was filled with the aroma of the perfume. And he said, why is this woman doing this? Jesus would answer, he says, she has been forgiven much. She understands that she has been forgiven much. That's why she has loved much. Amen. So we are constrained as children of God who have experienced the grace of God, who have experienced the love of the Father, that same love compels us to live through him and to walk in love one towards another. Hallelujah. Amen. We do not live our lives as though we really have so much say in this matter. In fact, if we have an understanding of where we used to be and what God has done for us, it would help us to drop our guards, to understand the way Paul understood. If I don't do this thing, I'm doing wrong. If you understand how loved you are of the Father, then you understand how much responsibility you have to walk in love one towards another. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 11, 1 John 4. says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. The point I want to make there is how that you have been strengthened by God to walk in love. You have been enabled to walk in love. Amen. It's not just a command, go and love. It's a command that's come with an enabling. It describes it in two ways. It describes how, that's in verse 13, it says, because he has been given of his Spirit, you have received the Spirit of the Lord. At another point, it says, you have God dwelling in you. Amen. You have been enabled to walk in love. Amen. Each time you do not walk in love, you live below your nature. You live below the strength and the capability that God has deposited in you. Each time you look at a brother and you deliberately live in malice, in anger, or in wrath, I will show him. You are saying it in your heart. I will show that brother. And he comes and you smile. I will show him. You live below the life and the strength that the Lord has given you. You live outside the realm that God has placed you into. You grieve the Spirit. Amen. It says, grieve not the Spirit. Each time you deliberately, I will show that brother, I said, Pastor, I will show him. No, let me show him first, then I will come. You grieve the Spirit. That is, you lose sight on how God has enabled you to shine brightly as light in this world as you give an expression of love at every situation. Amen. It says God has come to dwell in you. And because he has come to dwell in you, you can express the same kind of love he has expressed towards you. You are enabled to walk in love. It's not a loving based on your individual strength and capability or capacity. It's one that relies on the one who loved you first. It is inched and based on what Jesus did for you on the cross. If you are looking for a template, a sample of how you ought to love, look to the cross. Do you know that Jesus had the power? He had the power to say, I am not dying again. But yet he chose it for you to be lifted out of your weakness, your sin, your insecurities, your incapabilities. He loved you intentionally. If God so loved you like that, you ought to walk in love with one another. Amen. But what you must always remember, I've been enabled to love. Yes, it may be difficult. I've been enabled to love. Jesus showed us that yes, it can be difficult. Oh, God, let this cup pass over me. But your will be done. You have been enabled to love. At that time when you are feeling like this guy is cheating me, I need to show him. Walk in love and be restrained back. The believer ought to walk in love. Amen. Verse 19. 1 John 4. Says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Let me just read to the end. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen. Love for one another is a reflection of our love for God. Hallelujah. That is why I will say, you cannot say you love God when you do not love a brother. The opportunity you have to show love to a brother is a reflection of how much love you have for God. Hallelujah. Our love for God is a reflection of how much we appreciate his love. Hallelujah. Our love for God is a reflection of how much we appreciate what he has done for us. You know, you may understand that God has done so much for you, but do not deeply appreciate it. But we are expected to love, and love indeed. Love for one another is a reflection of our love for God. The way we can see and understand and perceive that you have love for God is when we see that you have love for one another. Amen. You cannot say you love God and do not love a brother. It does not work. That is what scripture is saying. It does not work. It's just the way it is. It cannot work. You cannot live in hatred and say you have experienced the love of God. Amen. It's always a reflection of your love for God. And we see in scripture how love is given as a command. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor. Hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collectors doing that? Amen. Jesus is saying to us that love is not on the basis of reciprocity. He didn't call you to reciprocate love, but to demonstrate it. Amen. Jesus did not call you to come and reciprocate. Because Pastor Yinka has walked in love towards me, so I will walk in love towards him. Because he has greeted me, I will greet him. Because he has been good to me in many ways, I'll be good to him also. But that Mr. Loede has a strong face. He's always strong in his face. Amen. If he doesn't greet me, I won't greet him. If he does not give me a gift, I can't give him one. If he has no good thoughts towards me, I will have no good thoughts towards him. Hallelujah. Let us do it like that. Amen. God has not commanded us, or Jesus was not particularly telling us to come to the world and reciprocate love one towards another, but to demonstrate it. Amen. You are to initiate it. You have the responsibility to initiate it and stay at it. Amen. Whether the person responds or not, you do what you ought to do that is right. You live deliberately. You live purposefully. You are active in your actions and not reactive. Because he's my enemy, I will not walk in love. That is being reactive. Because he has not greeted me, I will not greet him. That is being reactive. Because he has not shown me mercy, I will not show him mercy. That is being reactive. But for the believer, you ought to be active. You are deliberate. This is what the Lord expects of me, and that is what I will do. Walk in love towards my neighbor. Amen. We have not been called to reciprocate love, but to demonstrate it. Your walk in love is hinged on your love for God. Jesus affirms this when he confirms that the greatest command is love. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Rounding off, please come and play something. Let's. Matthew chapter 22. I'll read from verse 37. Jesus replied. Okay, let me read from 34 so we'll put some perspective to it. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. 38 says, this is the first and greatest commandment. 39, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Remember, we have said that we walk in love. We ought to walk in love as children of God, as children who have experienced the grace of God. And on that basis, our daily living ought to be one that is punctuated by love at every instance and in every activity. And we got to the point where we said that our love for one another is a reflection of the love we have for God. And the scripture is confirming to us that love for the believer is not based on affections. It is a command. Amen. And this scripture tells us the greatest of the laws is summed in these two. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your might and with all your soul. And the second is like unto it, you will love your neighbor as yourself. If you would have and walk in love as you ought to, then you ought to fulfill that first commandment of walking in love. Of loving the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to love God. Say, sir, how do I love God, whom I do not see? And I still find it a struggle to love the man who I see. Amen. The scripture is saying, we see you love God when you love this man. I find it difficult to love God. I don't see him. But this man I see, is still difficult. The beginning point is always to love God that you do not see. Amen. It says you will love God with all your might, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. How? I'll give us 3 or 4 points of how you can love God. And as you get deeper and deeper and deeper in love with Him, you see it translate into your love for one another. The first point, which I believe we have all passed, is to have a contact with Him. Amen. That is where you come to terms and you come to an understanding of what He did for you through the cross. How He loved you, He gave His Son for you, and as many as come to Him, He accepts them. You have a contact with Him. To love someone, you must have a contact with the person first. You can't love someone in absentia except you are loving a fictional person. Amen. 'Cause for those of us who are not married, don't love a fictional person. It must be this built, that height, that tall, this black, that color, and all that. Let the real one come, then love. Hallelujah. You should have the eyes of a dove, or she should have the eyes of a dove, the body of, amen. Hallelujah. The air of, hallelujah. Leave it. When you come in contact with people, let love generate. Hallelujah. So there must be a contact. And for the believer, it is that point when you believe and you receive the Savior as your Lord. You accept He died for you. He gave Himself for you. You understand and you accept what He has freely done for you. You become a partaker of His grace. You become a member of His household. You become the child of God. Hallelujah. If you will love God, number two, what you need to commit to doing is you need to know about Him. Amen. You need to know about Him. You don't love a thing when you don't know about it. Hallelujah. Most when you pay attention to what people say about people, you are likely not to see the good parts of such a person. You love people, you see yourself being endeared towards loving someone when you start knowing about the person. So if you are going to love the Lord, you need to know about Him. How? You need to commit, be devoted to the scriptures. Like Pastor Inka taught us last week, your heart must be drawn to the scriptures. You want to know more about Him. You want to know about His greatness, His mighty potential, the things that He has done, the things that He is capable of, how much and how deep is His love for towards you. How great and how mighty is this God I have come to? What will He do? What will He not do with me? How far will He go? How far will He not go with me? What are the things I'm entitled to because I have come to this God? How mighty is He? As you look into scriptures, you see more and more and more of this God, and you realize that you are more endeared towards Him. You feel inclined to depend on Him. You feel you need to put your trust more in Him because you are getting to know Him more and more. What you know about Him is not what you have been told, it's what you have seen. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to know about Him. Commit to the study of scriptures to discover the mighty potential of this God that we serve. Amen. Number three, You need to think about him. Amen. That is why I believe he would like him to meditate. Hallelujah. You need to think about him. Let majority of your thoughts be filled with the things that God is capable of doing or has done. Not about the worries around. If you want to love the Lord, probably in the place of prayer, or you in your deep thoughts, how could he have done it? To save the people of Israel, part the Red Sea? This God is mighty. Or you say, how could he have been sleeping when there was a storm to capsize a boat? You spend time thinking about this God that you know, that you have read about. Let the thoughts of your heart be filled. Be filled with the attributes of God. Amen. Like Pastor Inka said last week, of how sometimes he needed to get away very early to meet a certain person somewhere before he goes to work. Hallelujah. In the same way, a good number of us, before we got married, and probably after we got married, we spent time thinking about our damsels. Look how beautiful. And they ask you, sir, what's going on? Oh, sorry. I was just giving the Lord thanks. Can you spend time? This God is awesome. Spend your time meditating on the realities of God. He has done this much for me. He died for me. Spend time. Have your thoughts filled with the attributes, the actions, the activities of God. Let it flood your heart. That is where it begins from. That is where the love you have for him starts beginning to build. Amen. By the time you do it, by the time you are giving over to it, you realize that you are falling in love with him more and more. It's going deeper and deeper. It goes beyond the experience you had yesterday. It goes beyond the experience of something that he just did for you now. It's something deeper. I just can't do without him. Because your thoughts are focused on him. Number 3 or 4. Talk to him. Amen. Talk to him. Talk to him about him. Hallelujah. In the place of prayer, spend time talking to him. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him. The more you talk to him, the more you are endeared towards him. Amen. I like to ask this question when I have to tell people of how they can get intimate with God. I say, who is the person you are closest to? Some will say my father. Some will say my mother. Okay, your mom. Who is the person you talk to the most? And they confirm, it's my mom. She knows almost everything about him. Before any problem comes, I have run to tell her. Before this happened, I have told her. So they're just endeared to us. Amen. Spend time talking with God. And you realize that you are falling deeper and deeper and deeper in love with him. Amen. Talk to him about him. Give him thanks and talk to him about his greatness, his mightiness. In the place of prayers, leave those things that are problems that you have come with. Spend time to talk to him. God, you are good. Ah, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for what you have done for me, that you died on the cross. I thank you because you reconciled me back to yourself. You paid a price with your life for me. Not so much of, God, you see this problem. I know you can fix it. Fix it, oh, fix it. I know it's only you that can fix it. Fix it now. Now, then I will know you are God and the true God. He does not need to fix it for us to know that he's the one and the true God. Why not go communicate with him? Leave that problem. That time spent on that problem, leave it. Talk to God about him, about his almightiness, about his greatness, about the wonders of, about the works of his hands, about those beautiful things he has even done for you, about how he has saved you from danger, probably an accident, probably things, probably how he healed you. Talk to him about him. Amen. Like you. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Those who are married, you know what I'm saying. Hey, hallelujah. You see your damsel, you are not talking. When you are talking about problems, you are fighting. Hallelujah. You say, oh, baby, you are beautiful today. Oh, baby, you smell good. Your hair is... Hallelujah. There's an endearment. There's a drawing towards one another. Oh, I liked the way you just rolled your eyes. Amen. There's a drawing together. But when it is, hallelujah, we need to parent. You just see some rumblings all around. You see tensions here and there. No, focus. You look good. Your hair, you need to cut it, but I still like it the way it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Talk to God. Talk to God. You realize you fall in love with him more and more. What it does is that you have the ability to trust him more and more. The more or the deeper you get or you fall in love with him, the more you realize you're trusting him more. Even for those problems, they become trivial. They become easy things because you know the mighty God that you have spoken with is able to fix them. You just pack them aside. You don't allow them to trouble you. Talk to God. Love the Lord. And as you love the Lord, you realize that you are loving your neighbor more. You are walking in love at every opportunity. You realize that you find it easy to let go of situations that you'd have held tightly onto. You realize that you find it easy to come with your strength to pick men out of their situations. You find it easy to part with your last to see another person get better. You find it easy to be spent for someone else to be improved. You find it easy to let go of the things you hold so dear to yourself. Why? Because you have experienced the love of the Lord and you have seen him demonstrate it in your own life, how he left the best he had to have you added to his household. Nothing would matter anymore because you have fallen deeper in love with the Lord. As believers, we ought to walk in love daily. It should be a life pattern. It should be a life devotion. Sometimes this happens to me. Probably when I know I'm supposed to do something and I don't do it, probably for someone, I feel, amen. That is the time to check how my relationship with the Father is. Have I drawn back a little? Have I drawn back a bit? Am I still deeply in love with him? Is it just some casual head knowledge, you know, I have? I know he's good. I know he's kind. But much more than that, it should be real to me. The love you have must be real, and it will translate to a walk in love with your neighbor. Can we bow our heads as we pray this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I want you to talk to God. About what you have heard this morning. You have a command to walk in love one towards another. But the first command we receive is to love God with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul, with everything we have. Tell Him you want to love Him more. Tell you we want to fall deeper in love with Him. Tell Him you will make a commitment to knowing Him more. You have a knowledge of His truth. You have a knowledge of His activities. You have a knowledge of His person, His greatness. You allow the thoughts of your heart be filled with the Lord and His activities. You allow the thoughts of your heart be filled with His greatness. And you spend time, you look for time out of no time to talk to Him and tell Him about these beautiful things about Him that you discover. See, out of no time, you create the time to relate with Him. You say, God, I love You. I just discovered again this morning how great You are. How majestic You are. How awesome You are. I just saw it again this morning, how You calmed the sea, the storms, how You calmed it. And it brought me to awe of how great You are. I just discovered again this morning how You fed 5,000 with the meal of a kid. Oh God, You are great. You are awesome. You are wonderful, oh God. You are worthy. You are beautiful. There is none like You. Jesus, there is none like You. Thank You, Father. We give You glory and praise. We worship and we adore You. And Father, I pray for Your children, every one of them. We'll commit to a walk in love, but we'll first make that important commitment to love You with all their hearts, with all their mind, with all their might, with all their soul. Whatever will be a distraction, they will draw strength as You have lavished upon them to live above every distraction and to choose to stay committed to You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
The message you have just listened to is from the Grace Community Church, located at 12 Salako Crescent, Ogba, Lagos.
Our service times are Sundays 9 a.m. and Wednesdays 6 p.m. We look forward to having you worship with us. Our Twitter handle, at TGCC Online. You can also reach us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ The Grace Community Church.
We would love to hear from you. Thank you. Thank you.